Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Glad you chose to come out. I don't know who left this up here, but I'm going to just dump it to the side. You may recognize this morning the title of the lesson, Face to Face. Have you ever came face to face with someone and you were afraid? When I was in my younger days, I practiced karate. And our sensei took us to a tournament in Knoxville. And when the tournament began, they lined us up and set each other back to back, the ones who were going to be fighting. I was scared then. But then when we turned around and faced each other, I was really scared. We were face to face, getting ready to battle. I think I lost that one. But face to face, what will it be? One day, you and I will see him face to face. What will it be? Sir Francis Bacon once said this: I do not believe that any man fears to be dead, but only the stroke of death. Woody Allen was heard to say this: I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. As Paul faced imprisonment and the prospect of dying in a jail cell, he shared his view about life and death. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 21, he said, there, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live, living means living for Christ, and dying it is even better. If you are a Christian and a child of God this morning, dying is even better. Listen what is said in Psalms chapter 116, verse number 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What a great perspective. Perspective means a view of things or facts in which they are in the right relation. Right place. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read verses 6 through 8. Of course, this is Paul speaking. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul was in the right place. Paul was where he needed to be. We know that death is our enemy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 25 and 26. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We should know that it does not possess the finality that so many dread. There is a life awaiting for believers beyond this life. In John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus there said unto her, her being Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? No resurrection or eternal life exists outside the Son of God. We find in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 27, as we've already quoted this morning, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We need to put Christ on. There's no resurrection outside of Christ. There was a show called In the Heat of the Night. It still runs, reruns today. And this particular show dealt with the chief of police and someone that he had arrested much earlier. And now the one was on death row getting ready to be executed. So he calls the chief. He wants to talk to the chief. He wants to tell the chief that he's sorry for what he had done. And the man that was going to be executed asked the chief. He said, tell me the things that Jesus said. He said, I can't remember them all, but tell me what Jesus said. He told him from John chapter 11, 25 and 26. He said that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He didn't go any further. That word belief means action. Action has to be taken on the part of the believer. There's more to do. That being said, obedience to the gospel, being baptized into Christ, living the life as a child of God. We find in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, Scripture says there, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Christians know the way. For those who have taken action and obeyed the gospel and continued to do so, they know the way. In John chapter 17, verse number 24, Jesus said this, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This will be in heaven, where his full glory can be seen, when time is no more, and judgment day has come. Those true believers will see his glory and share it. Listen to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We also find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 17, it says there, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 19 there says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It's been said by someone that what a caterpillar thinks is the end of life, the butterfly thinks it's just the beginning. It was said by a man named George MacDonald. How strange this fear of death is. He says, we are never frightened at a sunset. During our physical life, we have many opportunities to serve Jesus. But one day, you and I will actually be in his presence, face to face. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we shall know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. For the Christian, the fear of death will then give way to the fullness of true life. When some writers write articles, they often write in a way to motivate the reader to think about his or her spiritual conditions. Take your Bible and turn with me to Luke 15. We're going to read there 17 through 20. And when he came to himself, this is talking about the prodigal son, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion, and he ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Can you this morning see that father running? Can you see the motivation that that young man had to come home? The following article that I have was written by Brother Walter Swain of Cloudcroft, New Mexico. he begins it this way. He says, while driving down the highway recently, for no reason at all, I had a thought suddenly pumped into my mind. He said, 1 second from now, I could be dead. He said, I reasoned that something could happen to the car. I could have a wreck. Or some other thing could take me from this life at any time. And 1 second from now, this life could be over. At this particular time, the thought that he had seemed to be impressed upon him with a greater reality than ever before. He says, and I began to think, this is really true. Make no mistake about it. 1 second from now, my life could be over. And what then? It's a sobering thing to stop and consider this fact. But the sad part is, many do not. He continues on and he says, 1 second from now, I could be in eternity. I could be living in the existence that has no end, that goes on forever and ever. And in that existence, I will be in a state that never can be changed. Never can be changed. My eternal fate could be determined and sealed forever. 1 second from now. All that I possess in this life could be nothing to me at all. Everything material, which seems so important now, could be left behind forever. The very things that motivate most of our lives and the things that are most that we are most concerned about will have no importance whatsoever. Everything I possess in this life, he says, except for my soul, could belong to someone else 1 second from now. 1 second from now, I could be seeing my Lord face to face. This is the most glorious thought. Paul says, absent in body, present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8. He says, if I should die, my first awareness would be that of being present with Jesus Christ. In paradise, I will be with the Lord even as he promised the thief on the cross. Luke 23:43. Yes, I could be with Jesus my Lord. 1 second from now. He goes on and he says, 1 second from now, I could be in eternal torment. The Christian knows that death he will be able to see Christ and begin an eternal existence with him. But to those out of Christ, what about them? Death will place them in the torments of Hades. Those who have never obeyed. Those who have obeyed, but have fallen away, and have never bothered to repent. Those who put things before Christ. When he says, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom. We find in Luke chapter 16, 22 through 24, these words. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Do we understand this morning that he only wanted a drop on his tongue, not over his whole body? They too will begin an eternal existence, but it will be an existence that brings eternal torment and travail. At the judgment day, they will be cast into final abode of hell. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Turn with me. 20. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth, the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Also we find in Matthew 25, verse 46, the unrighteous shall go into eternal punishment. From 31 to 46 is talking about separating the sheep from the goats. To those outside of Christ, death will bring eternal torment, and it could all begin 1 second from now. It is indeed sobering to think what could be true of our existence 1 second from now. Folks, I want to be honest. I believe we all know. I believe if we were to pass Everyone knows where they would be 1 second from now. Life is uncertain to all, Hebrews 9:27 tells us, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. In James 4:14 we find, but what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Where will you be 1 second from now? Appreciate Nick leading this song. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face. What will it be? You're standing there. He's going to want, well, he already knows. But he wants your story. What are you going to tell him? What are you going to say for the times that you have forsaken the Master? Will you be standing there hoping that he will understand your reasons? Will you be standing there trembling, knowing what will be? Where will you be 1 second from now if you pass? The Bible tells us that we are to hear the Word of God. We are hearing the Word of God this morning. Matthew 7:24-25 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which he hath built a house upon a rock. The rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon the rock. We are to believe in Jesus. In John 8:24, he says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. We are to repent of our sins. Luke 13:3. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We are also to confess Christ before men. Acts 8:37, as the eunuch was talking to Philip, and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we are to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. In 1 Peter 3:21, the Bible says, the like figure whereunto even baptism, doth now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you've done, how you've lived your life, how long you've been away from God. He wants you to obey and to come home. Because Jesus still loves you. Where will you be 1 moment from now? If you have a need this morning, come over, stand and sing.